If you read, can everybody hear me? Wait, if you can hear me real well, if I'm loud enough. Am I loud enough? Okay, real good. If you read in the New Testament, in particular in the Old Testament as well, there are so many reasons to know that the rapture is true. If we start off, one of the things that lets us know, first of all, we have to consider that the Spirit is able to move us bodily from place to place and defy all the laws of nature and earth, as we call it. And we refer to, in some ways, it's a misnomer, because we refer to all of our earthliness or our humanness as being a natural man. And actually, we're earthly man. And God is able to move us, as we see with Elijah. He's able to move him from place to place. Even before Elijah's caught up and carried to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah has a reputation of God moving him from place to place, because Ahab's servant, when Elijah tells him, "Tell Ahab you saw me and where I am," the first thing he says to Elijah is, he says, "By the time I go tell Ahab you're here, God will have moved you someplace else. And it'll make it look like I didn't know what I was talking about." And then we see in Stephen's case, and these are natural bodies, these are not changed bodies, as well as Enoch. We see in Stephen's case where he takes Stephen out to where he needed him to be, to preach to this unit. And then when he finishes preaching to the Ethiopian, then he brings him back to Samaria where he brought him from. And he does this bodily. So it's easy to understand when Paul says that when he was caught up third heaven, whether in body or just in spirit, he wasn't sure. He wants you to know one way or the other, he was caught up in third heaven and it wasn't just a dream.
Right, yes.
He wants you to know that he really was caught up and it wasn't just a dream. And it's important for us to understand that, because we're going to be caught up and we need to be able to understand that. So that, in addition to that, we see Jesus when he goes up, you notice Jesus specifically he makes sure that they see him go up in Acts, the first chapter. He doesn't have to do that, but he does it so they have it permanently ingrained in their minds. So much so that even when we read it some almost 2,000 years later, of him being caught up, the Spirit is so pointedly pointed out, and the Spirit says it so strongly that we believe it. You know, matter of fact, you have to be someone, you have to really fight not to believe it. And when we're looking at being caught up, he does this. And Jesus doesn't have to. It is for our benefit that they see him go up so they know where he is. That is strictly for the benefit of the apostles and us and you and I. Because before that, this is not Jesus' first trip to heaven after his resurrection, because he lets Mary know when she meets him in the garden, and she wants to hug him and hold on to him, and he tells her, you know, just wait a minute, I've got to go before the Father. Of course, I also feel like he not only doesn't want her to detain him, but also at the time of Jesus' resurrection, when Mary sees him, he's purified, he's clean, he's whole. And if you remember correctly, because when you read Leviticus, if any of the priests were, he is at this time completing the sacrifice that is offered up to heaven. He's going to carry the blood to heaven. He's going before the Father as the perfect sacrifice. And if you remember anything about Leviticus, you have to remember that when the priests are ministering, they can't touch any dead thing, and all of us on earth have death in us.
Yeah.
Mary, he can't be defiled when he goes before the Father to carry his blood. And so he tells Mary, you know, I'll be back. Yeah. I'll meet him in Galilee. But she doesn't see him go up. But we know he did. Long before Jesus is even on the scene as Jesus, as God's Son, although he always has been here since from the beginning, we know that Moses refers to God all the time, because Moses is the person who writes Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus, Genesis, Deuteronomy. Moses tells you every time Moses goes up the mountain and he says, and God comes down. So, and then in many other chapters, if you will spend time in the Old Testament, you will see that when God finishes speaking, it will say, and God went up from them. And if you want to look at the movies and everything, it's always some mountain someplace that they're always climbing. God wasn't climbing a mountain, he was going back to heaven. He didn't need to go up a mountain and leap to heaven or whatever. He could just go up. And although he would meet Moses on top of the mountain, he still wasn't going up the mountain. He was already at the top. So the point of us being caught up and being moved by God and being raptured and being translated, I fully suspect that if I could do this, and it'd probably be my own mind. So I wouldn't say this of a surety, but in my own mind's eye, I suspect that even Peter being taken out of prison as he was a form of translation, because even though it's written to us in slow motion how the angel comes and wakes him up and the chains fall off, the doors open and do all those things in slow motion, I feel like it's been written. But I'm pretty sure probably all this happened in a moment in the twinkling of the eye, because the guards know nothing of it. And it happens before they realize it has happened. And it's not because they're asleep. If they had been asleep, the angels would have asleep. The Bible would have said they were asleep. So immediately, one moment Peter's here and all these things happen, and then when they realize that he's gone.
Yeah.
And they can't explain why. There's no earthquake. There's no anything else. So when we talk about the absolute inevitability and possibility and probability and real reality of the rapture, then that's something you really need to believe in. And then when we talk about the rapture, because it's doable, and we see it in so many examples. If you will look through the Bible, having knowledge of the rapture, when you look in the Bible, then you can see it.
Yes.
Then when we look at the rapture, and we look at all the occasions where it's talked about that we're going to be raptured, one of them is in John 14, and Jesus says it, among others, but Jesus says it. He tells them in John chapter 14, I think it is, John 14 and 3, where he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and there you may be also. Now, one of the things when we look at 1 Peter, you're going to see the people are going to say is, they're going to say, well, he said he was coming again, but he hasn't come yet. In the time that when Jesus tells them he's going to go, and then the next place where you see that he's coming back is in Acts, the first chapter, when the angels tell him, says to them, ye men of Acts 1:11, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now this refers to the rapture. We're going to meet him in the clouds. It is not the same as the second advent.
Yeah.
And in the time that we cover this, we'll look at all the references and dates. And I like dates references. I've looked at Matthew Henry and all the others, but dates references on this seem to be very much, I agree with what he writes. It matches all the scriptures. And I have, and say, well, have you read all his scriptures? I sure have. To see how they tie in, and it's amazing. So when we talk about the rapture, we're not referring to the second advent. Now, it's so important that you understand the difference between the rapture and the second advent, because in today, and a lot of the teachings that are going on, and among a lot of the, from what I'm getting, I don't go to a church where people are proclaimed evangelicals. I go to this church, and I belong to this organization. But from what I'm hearing of them, which might not be completely accurate, but when I talk to people who come out of them, they have this mindset that that in the earth somehow or another, they're going to have to hold back the tribulation and hold back the Antichrist and do this to keep the Antichrist from coming. And the point of this is What you need to do is not so much worry about holding back the tribulation, because that's going to come. You can't stop that.
Right.
And you can't even hinder it.
Right, yes.
It will come on schedule, yes, just as God, yes, has planned it. Yes. You don't slow it down one bit. You also don't slow down or speed up the rapture.
Right, yes.
What we need to do is what civic things we're able to do them, but don't do them with the point. Don't go out here and just do everything you can because you think you're holding up the Antichrist or holding up the rapture. That's coming. That's not given to me to do.
No.
It's not given to me to try and hold it up, nor is it given to any one of us to try to defeat the devil.
Yeah.
That's Jesus' job.
Yeah.
He will do that when he comes. Now, the rapture, our being caught up, as it says in Thessalonians, and this is what we're going to look at in the course of the next few lessons as we go, because we'll take time for the scriptures. But I want we must know that not only Paul talks about the rapture, but so does Peter and so does John. In 1 John chapter 3, John tells us that we know that when we see him, we shall be like him.
Yes.
We'll be caught up. Does not yet, you know, Paul tells us both in Corinthians, in 1 Thessalonians, also in Colossians. He tells us that we're going to, in Colossians, we'll look at it, to heaven from where we look for the Savior to come,
yes,
to change our foul bodies.
Yes.
So it is absolute that we're going to be caught up. Now, where I want to start at tonight is, as a precursor, there's something else you need to know. When Paul is caught up to third heaven, and we'll see that in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, or 2 Corinthians, which one is it? I wrote it down someplace. Let's see, 2 Corinthians. And chapter 12, when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, which refers to the planet heaven, the city of New Jerusalem. He was caught up, as John was caught up in Revelation. When Jesus, and it is specifically Jesus who tells John to come up hither, because he says, I am he that was and that lived and died and was raised and forevermore. Jesus, he identifies himself as the Lamb. And he tells John, come up hither. And then he shows John all that's in Revelation, gives him a revelation of the end time. He also gives John letters to write to the people who are still standing in Revelation 1 and 2 and 3. In Revelation 1, he identifies himself and tells John who he is,
yeah,
and John is caught up. In Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, he gives John instruction to the churches that are in the earth and a warning. He names the churches by name at that particular time. But when you read those churches, you see us today. It's just like if you look in the Bible, you see the man Adam in the garden with two legs, two eyes, two arms, Eve, two legs, you know, whatever. And when you look at us today, you see the same person.
Yeah.
And when you look at us today in those churches, and our church is no different from any of the other, we have the same characteristics and the things going on in our churches that are going on in churches in Revelation.
Yeah.
But the good part about it is there's not a single church in Revelation that he writes to John that he says, tell them they're done. Mm-hmm. He tells them, no, get yourself right and become overcomers. He uses the word, get over this, go through this, you know, get this done. He says, because you'll receive a crown of righteousness. And another place he says, you'll dwell in paradise. And this time he's referring to heaven. And he keeps making all these promises of what will happen to these churches. Now, what's so important about in Revelation, when you look at it, and now I think I'm ready to start and get into the lesson. Because, I didn't finish 2 Corinthians 12. And I knew such a man, whether in three in body or out of body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, which refers to heaven this time, and not paradise that is under the earth, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or be heard. In other words, Paul says, because I'm able to have the revelation that God gave me on this, you're not supposed to do like they did me in wherever he was and try to make me a god.
Yeah.
When you're a preacher or when you're one of the gifts of the church and you get revelation, you're not supposed to allow the people to exalt you about your revelation.
Right, yeah.
Because the revelation comes from God. And Paul says, I've got to be very careful that you understand that I got this revelation from God. And I have to be careful that you don't think more of me, that I'm some great one because I have this revelation. It is a gift. It's from God. And it's for you.
Yeah.
It's like me worshiping UPS. It's the package I want.
Yes.
You know, it's not the driver.
Right.
He delivers it, but he's not important to me in that regard. He is important, and I appreciate him bringing it. But, you know, if the UPS truck is just flying up down the highway, it means nothing to me. It's only... His relationship to me is when he's delivering me something. Or I see him as a deliverer, but his importance is what he's delivering, not he himself.
Right.
We're the same way. As a preacher, we have an importance in that we're delivering the word of God, but that's where it ends. What you really want is the word of God. So any exaltation you have for the preacher just for the sake of him being a preacher, or if you just, you know, really feel like the UPS man just deserves so much greatness and honor for bringing you. No, this is what he's. This is his work.
Yeah.
This is his work, and he's rewarded for his work. It's called a paycheck.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, this is my work, and I'm rewarded for my work.
Yeah.
It's called eternal life. It's called the blessings that I get in God now. It's all those. If I allow myself to be caught up because of it, then I become exalted. And Paul says, God wanted to make sure he didn't become exalted for this. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And this evil spirit followed Paul everywhere he went, got in this woman who had a spirit of divination, coached her on, got in these people who stoned him. He's just, everywhere Paul would go, this spirit would show up, and just, it's like some person in the crowd that just dogs you around. Everywhere you go, they're there. And it always reminded Paul that what he had came from God.
Mm-hmm.
And since Paul prayed and asked God to deliver him, and God told Paul, my grace is sufficient to you, it let Paul know all the time that you don't have the power to even get rid of him.
Yeah.
You can save, you can heal, you can do a lot of things, but if this person is to ever stop dogging you, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
So you're going to always remember who has the power.
Right.
This was necessary in order for Paul to always have the revelation that he has, because, and now I will say, he writes 14 letters, 14 epistles, 14 books, and they become books in the Bible, and the revelation that he has, only a few people really understand. John understands it, Peter understands it, and I'm going to make the assumption that all the apostles do understand it, and Paul in particular writes about it. It certainly is something that Ezekiel understands and Elijah understands, because they're the people, you know, that God has moved from place to place and has done great things. So they understand this, and Moses understands it because he sees Abraham and so forth, but not many people in Paul's time understand this, and certainly not the Jewish leaders of that time. So this mystery that comes, I think it's Watchman Nee or someone who was talking about Ezekiel's prophecies and Zechariah's prophecies, and they said it's like when you look at a mountain range and you see one mountain here and one mountain there, and both mountains are there, but what you don't see is the valley in between, the time in between. So then Paul has this great revelation. What is the revelation that Paul has? Is the revelation of the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
It is that Jesus is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
He fully understands this. Say, well, Mr. Smith, how do you know that? Because I noticed that when if you look with me for something quickly, you notice that when Paul goes through 1 Corinthians that we're dealing with, and he does all of his reproving and correcting and talks about marriage and this and that and meat given to idols and talks about them being saved and all these things, and we're going to spend more time on that too, because each one of those is a lesson in itself. You notice that he sums this up, and what is his summary? It's in 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He starts it with therefore. What part of speech is therefore, Chandra?
It's
a conjunction, but it also, and what it denotes is this is the conclusion.
Yes.
This is the reason why. You know, this is what you need to do based on what I have said before. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. So what has he said before? 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. This is the reward that comes after I have done the things in 1 Corinthians that he's told me. Why am I cleaning myself up? Why does he tell me in the first verse, in first few verses of 1 Corinthians, if I keep in memory the things that I've taught? He's telling the Corinthian saints, don't draw back. Don't lose what you know. Don't stop living like you're living. This is what you're living for. You're living to be caught up. You're preparing yourself to be the church that he's going to come. The church being the people, not the building, not the organization, not the seal, not any of our administrative things. None of those things. The church being the blood bought, as some churches like to say, the blood bought people of Christ.
Right.
Me, you, not our trappings, not our titles, not our whatevers. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And this is the point that Paul makes about it. Yes, some people will die before Jesus comes, and he lets you know in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, or 2 Corinthians 1 and 2, the 5th chapter, he lets you know that if we should die, we will get our body anyway.
Yes.
So we don't have to worry about that.
Yes.
But we still have to be the same people who are looking for the rapture.
Yes.
Jesus, to deny the rapture is deny that Jesus Christ is coming back. And I'm running into a wealth of hard, dyed in the wood, hardcore evangelical people who are just loving God, and they're just preparing themselves for the tribulation. They're spending so much time worrying about the tribulation, what Israel's going to do, and Russia's going to do, and China's going to do. What is God going to do? Why are I don't plan to be here.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm building up myself on this because I'll tell you why. Let's go to old 1 Thessalonians tonight for a moment. Something we need to know. 1 Thessalonians. And this is important for me, and it's important for Elder Smith, and it's important for all of us. And maybe, you know, what we need to, here's the point. There are many of us among those that are here right now. You're not sure, you know, we plan on going back with Jesus when he comes. We plan on escaping the rapture. But you're saying, well, you're not sure. There's some people who believe. Some people are die-hard tribulation preaching people. They believe you're going to go through at least 3.5 years of it.
No.
This and that and the other. There will be people saved during the rapture, but I won't need to be saved during the rapture. I'll be out of here.
That's right.
During the tribulation, yeah. During the tribulation, I'm sorry. There'll be people saved during the tribulation, but I won't be one of them. And we're going to talk about the raptures in the raptures in the first resurrection. But tonight, this is like the introduction. And I want to get your mind turned towards rapture so you start living and praying like we're in the rapture. And this is why 1 Thessalonians, first in 1 Thessalonians 4, it's where, you know, all of us are, where we all know the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4. And starting about verse number 13.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. But I would not have you to be ignorant, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Brethren, we know this because we read it at every funeral. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as those that have no hope. And this gives us hope that when people die in Christ, We know that for us, we know they're embodied out on earth, but they live.
Yes.
You know. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this is where the confusion comes in, because you have all these, you have this long list of people who they have Jesus and God the Father being the same person, and that's kind of confusing to them, because if Jesus died and so forth and so on. It is easier to understand everything when you recognize that Jesus and God the Father are not the same person. But then you believe that God the Father raised him from the dead. He says, for this we believe that Jesus, that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and with the dead and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Caught up is where we get the word rapture from.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Greek word harpizo, harpazo, whatever, carry off, grasp. It means in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So he says in this, now I want you to go back and focus your attention on verse 15. For this we say by the word of the Lord. This is how I know, Chandra, that this is part of the revelation that Paul gets. This we say by the word of the Lord.
Mm,
this is
yes.
Part of what he's being told when he's caught up to third heaven. This is part of the revelation that he receives. Now, the revelation that he receives doesn't mean it's the first time it's been said or the first time it's been written, but now he has the reality of it and he realizes what it is, because this is not the first time you've read this. But now the revelation comes when he says, this I say by the word of the Lord. The Lord has explained, and now my eyes are open. Behold, I show you. It was a mystery. It's a mystery. You're trying to understand what's going to happen before the end days, and I'm telling you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you how God is going to save everybody that's right at the right time.
Yes.
At one time. And not allow the righteous to suffer with the wicked.
Right, yes.
So then he says, this I say by the word of the Lord. And he goes on to talk about, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds. So we and to meet the Lord there, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now don't forget, now when you look at the word down here where it says, that we that are alive, which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Don't get the word prevent, as in what we use the word prevent, means that we stop something from happening.
Yes.
He's not saying that we who are alive won't stop the ones that are dead from going up. Prevent in the time that he writes this, or that is translated, it means pre-event or come before.
Yes.
We shall not come before them. Yes. They will be caught up first in us.
Yes.
We won't precede them.
Yes.
So if you have in your mind prevent that, and I'm not recording because I'm still on pause, so no need to start it now. If it's not, you must understand that what the prevent here means will not precede them, won't go before them, won't lead them.
Yeah.
They go up. Now we have some. There's some to be thought about as far as the resurrected saints, when they go up or how they go up. I know that all the saints who are in paradise are already gone up. We believe that when we die, we go immediately to heaven, and we receive our mortal bodies, as it says in Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I believe that. So when he talks about us going up and being caught up, but according to dates, and most people who write it, there's still a resurrection from the earth. We will see at that time. One thing I know, the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we which are alive and remain, we will be caught up to meet them in there. That is sure. That is for sure. The other thing I want us to look at, when we look at now, that's 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. That's the end of that one. Then I want us to look at chapter 5, which is what something we don't, how many people here read chapter 5 all the time? We don't. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So he says in this, now, as to that time and date, brothers and sisters, you have no need for anything to be written unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the return of the Lord is coming, just as a thief in the night comes unexpectedly and suddenly at night. Now, we're talking about two different things.
Mm-hmm.
One, he finished talking about the rapture. And then, for my sake and your sake, he's going to clarify about the tribulation, and he's going to clarify about when Jesus comes in the second advent. The rapture and the second advent are two different occasions. And let me see. I've got a reference here, if I can find it. And in my Bible, I think it's on, let me see some of the reference scriptures that are here. It's on 399 in my Bible, and it's not yours. If you look at reference N, when he's talking about in 1 Thessalonians, see what I'm talking about. See what reference this is to. Verse number 2 and 19. For what is the hope? What is our hope? Our joy? Our crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus at His coming? This is another reference to the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? This is referring to this. And you see reference in, and it says rapture and second coming. And I don't know where it is in your Bible, but in mine it's on 299. And while we're there, you might want to put some in that page, because we're going to keep coming back to the references that it talks about here. I like the way Dick says it, so I'll read it. It's 299, and it refers to 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. Can everybody find that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rapture and Second Advent. Does everybody see that yet?
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. The personal presence, this refers to the rapture, not the second advent of Christ. So when he's talking about and his coming, he's referring to the rapture, not the second advent. These two comings should not be confused. The scripture that applies to one does not apply to the other. Not one passage refers to both events as if they were one. These two distinct comings are separated by several years, and so are not two stages or phases of one coming. The rapture is the first of two comings, not a coming to earth, but in the air.
Yeah.
It could not be the second advent, because Christ does not come to the earth to live here and fulfill a mission as he did at the first advent. When Christ meets the saints in the air, he takes them back to heaven with him and presents them before the Father's throne, where they remain during the time the tribulation is running its course on the earth. Christ does not remain in the air with the saints when they meet him, as in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. The marriage supper and judgment of saints takes place in heaven, and at the second advent, after the tribulation, Christ and the saints leave heaven together and come down to earth. The rapture is the time Christ comes for the saints and takes them to heaven. The second advent is the time he comes to earth to live here and fulfill a mission. This is the time he comes from heaven with the saints, having raptured them at least 7 years before. The second advent cannot take place until all Revelations 1 through 19, 21 is fulfilled, while the rapture can take place any moment without anything being fulfilled. Okay, this is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
When he talks about us being taken up in the rapture, don't confuse the two. And some people, and that's another thing they want to do. And mm-hmm. why rapture us? Why wait until we suffer in the middle of the tribulation? I want us to look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 5. And of the times and seasons. So now he's talking about the tribulation. Everybody, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, he's talking about the rapture. Mm-hmm. In the 5th chapter, what's he referring to?
Tribulation.
But you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh so as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, talking about the tribulation, because the world's going to experience a calm. And the Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to settle everything. And it's going to be mm-hmm. peace like never before, they think. Suddenly destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They shall not escape. Not us. They shall. You got the day on this?
Yes.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you're not going to be here for that. Ye are all children of light and children of the day. It's not that it won't overtake you because you know it's coming. It's the next part of this sentence that you need to really read. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope for salvation. 9. Okay, everybody highlight this one. For God hath not appointed me us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or to be saved out of the earth by our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be part of the wrath.
Okay.
I'm going to be to a day of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you read Watchman Nee's book, one of his books on reading, Love Not the World, he spends a lot of time explaining what the word salvation is really all about. Mm-hmm. And when he writes about that, salvation is not just being saved as in we're no longer sinners. But when he writes about it, he says, really, when you talk about salvation, you're talking about being saved out of the earth.
Yes.
When you talk about salvation, you're not just talking about being saved as in, you know, and I know when we talk about this great salvation, most of the time we refer to the time Jesus comes in and so forth. That is our salvation. But salvation in itself refers to being saved out of the earth.
Earth, yes.
It's when we are changed from mortal to a mortal, we're yes. salvaged.
Yes.
We are not appointed, as he says, we are not appointed unto wrath. And I'll read the Amplified version. For God has not destined us to incur his wrath, that is, he has not selected us to condemn us, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will not be a part of the rapture. We are, and this is the reason why he says we need to do all these things. He says, for God, in other words, he says we have a hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to be a part of all these things that are going to happen. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that they were among you. In other words, he's telling them, he says, watch out for people who don't preach this to you, and are over you in the Lord, admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. He says, watch out and take care for the people that are really encouraging you and seeing you on. Don't get carried away with it. They're not God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right? Now, the other thing that I want you to look at tonight as we go into this, because the first thing I want you to make up your mind is that the rapture comes before the tribulation. Everybody say that. Rapture comes before the tribulation.
The rapture
comes not going to get caught up in the tribulation.
Not going to be caught
this
up in
this is why it is so important when John and all of them talk about it, and Paul writes to it. He keeps telling them that they must be a church without spot or without blemish. He that is able to perform a good work and begin a good work in us is able to keep us not through the tribulation, although he could, until the day that Jesus shows up, until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You want to be ready to go back with Jesus. And this, and I'm going to look at Revelation, the last thing I'm going to look at today, and then I'm going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to both encourage you and kind of admonish you in it, and then we're going to spend some time talking about raptures in the next session, which will be Friday night. I'll probably teach instead of preaching, and certainly I'll look at it for Christian education. I want to be strong in this. Listen, John says, 1 John says, all those that have this hope, the hope of the rapture, hope of seeing Jesus, purify themselves. If you're not in the process of purifying yourself, that shows to what extent you have a hope of being in Christ. And if we're, and this is why Paul says, know them that labor among you and over you in the Lord, because if I'm not preaching to you that you need to be looking for Jesus, and I'm only preaching to you that you'll just see him when you die, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And people who believe that the only time they're going to see Jesus, the only possibility is when they die, as long as they keep themselves healthy, they live kind of loose. And people who are, and to the other end, Why are you, if you're so spiritual and so deep in the Holy Ghost, there's a deception going on someplace. Mm-hmm. How strong is the deception if you're not planning on the rapture and you're looking for the tribulation? It's such a deception that in a matter of speaking, I have to think the Holy Ghost is not in you and you have another spirit, because when the Holy Ghost comes, He's going to take all those who love his appearing, those who are looking for his appearing, those who have that blessed hope of his appearing, and you don't have that.
Mm.
And why do you not have that? Well, one of two things. Either you don't have the Holy Spirit, or you haven't been taught that this is what you're supposed to have. And this is why Paul tells them to know them that labor among them and are over them in the Lord, and to have a great respect for them and listen to what they're talking about. That's what he's saying. He's not necessarily saying give them a great appreciation or a great anniversary. He's saying you need to give them your ear.
Yeah.
And you need to listen to what they're saying, and you need to respect what they're saying in the Lord. In Revelation chapter 4, and we'll spend more time on this. In Revelation 1, as I told you in the very beginning, Jesus comes down in the 8th. He says, Revelation chapter 1 and 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He's talking about himself. About verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned and to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven candlesticks, and he goes on. 20 and 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches or the pastors of the seven churches or the overseers. And the seven candlesticks, which you saw, are the seven churches themselves. Then he starts in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And he tells John what to write to all these churches to tell them, you need to get yourself together and prepare.
Yeah.
And he tells them very pointedly what things they're coming up short on.
Yeah.
And the biggest indictment is probably to the church that said, the biggest indictment is the church that he says that you have. He tells them you have a reputation for being great, but the truth is you're dead. That's the scariest one to me.
That's chapter 3.
Chapter 3. To the church in Sardis, these things he said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name or reputation, thou livest and art dead. He says, you got a reputation for being great, but you're not. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, the little you got, that are ready to die. If you don't make a change, that's going to die. For I have not found thy works to be perfect before God. That's a big indictment. The other ones he say, hey, you're kind of doing okay. One, you need to get rid of this person. And the other thing, too, when you're reading this letter, at the time he says that you need to get rid of this Jezebel, because this Jezebel is causing the people to fall in sin. Don't make yourself look for a woman. Look for a person. Doesn't have to be a woman who's doing this. The idea is you got somebody in your church who's causing the people to fall in sin. Mm-hmm. In this particular church, it's the Jezebel. Mm-hmm. But don't think it can't be a man.
Yeah.
The idea is don't have somebody in your church that's leading people into sin.
Yes.
Knowingly. And that they're pulling people out, they're causing people in your church to fall because of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This goes in line with what the Apostle Paul says, know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. This is why you're supposed to hold them up and hang on to them, because they have the words of life. In these first four chapters, we can find everything in every church that we're doing today, and we can clean ourselves up, because this is why he writes to John. Then, in chapter 4, because the people in these churches that he's talking to, they are, if they get themselves together, which includes us, because we it fits us, otherwise we wouldn't have it. They are going to be caught up when Jesus comes.
Yeah.
Now, chapter 4 comes. 1. After this, I looked and behold a door that was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which be, what next word?
Hereafter.
Hereafter. Why, Elder Smith, is that so important? He's written to the churches and told them what they need to do. Otherwise, he would come and remove their candlestick, take their anointing away, take their church away. He would, the Holy Spirit would leave them.
Yeah.
Not leave the earth, but would no longer be, they'd no longer be a church.
Hmm.
Then he says, after he says, this is how they need to get themselves together so they're caught up. He says, now let me show you what's going to happen hereafter. What's the hereafter? After these people are gone.
Gone, yes.
After these people are caught up. Revelations 4 through 20, through 22, through 20, tells you what happens in the earth after the church is gone. After the church has been taken out of the earth, then Revelation 4 and all those that are saved. Now, there's one more. One more scripture I want to look at. And I wrote down so many, and I do such ridiculously bad notes. I want you to see. Refers to what's holding back, what has to be moved out of the way. It says that let it. Talks about them, about it allowing the tribulation to come. And I know I wrote it down. It's in one of my notes. He that let it.
2 Thessalonians 2 and 7?
Yeah, that might be it. Did I write that on here someplace? 2 and 7. That sounds about right. Yeah. Let's talk about 3. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's talking about the Antichrist and talking about all those. But I want to go down to 7. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This sentence refers to the church being taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. When he talks about that being taken out of the way, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. All these things are going to happen when the church is gone. Let me read it in another translation, because I was reading it today. And I said, because I've always read that. Look at it. That's 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7.
For the mystery of the lawlessness, rebelling against the divine authority and the coming reign of the lawlessness, and the coming reign of lawlessness is already at work, but it is restrained only until he who now restrains it is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Now, some people say that some people use this scripture to say that the Holy Spirit is going to leave the earth. That's not true. He will always be here. Otherwise, during the tribulation, people would not be able to be saved.
Right.
They would not be able to be delivered. It will be difficult. You will have tribulation saints who are saved in the tribulation. I just don't plan on being one of them. You say, well, who will be the saints that are saved in the tribulation? All these people who will preach during the tribulation, the people who are preaching now that they're going to go through the tribulation, the people who are not expecting the rapture. I always knew that when the rapture comes, God is not going to make any saved person make the sacrifice. You're saved, but he's going to say, well, but you need to stay in the rapture and preach. That's not going to happen.
No.
Everybody in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, who is saved, will be caught up at that time. Yes.
So the way I'm reading this, if I'm understanding it correct, that means that the church, reading it in the Amplified version, is restraining that whole thing from happening. And so these people that are preaching and teaching about the tribulation, they're way off because
they
don't understand that as long as the church is in the earth, that's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
That's right.
Right.
Like, take yourself back to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
God is not going to send fire to Sodom and Gomorrah until every person who knows his name is out of the city. And he finds no one who is aware of him but Lot, his two daughters, and his wife, and she backslides. But he says, if I find 10 people in there who are godly, that are righteous, he says, they will hold back all the destruction that's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. So when we read this, we know that what is holding back the tribulation now? The saints that are in the earth. As long as there are saints in the earth, then that's not going to happen. And we have, you know, now if you are thinking about holding up the bloodstained banner and being a light, my God, this ought to make you want to do it. You don't want to, this is one time you don't want to slip through the crack and be one of those that when everybody else goes up, you're somehow still here hanging on to yourself. If nothing else makes you want to just be in the will of God, thinking about the rapture, should. And as far as and as far as all the people who are just intent on preaching about Daniel 7 weeks and it's all true. Listen, I'm not saying one time that it's not true and not one thing about it is not going to happen. It is.
Right.
It is. But here is the point. This is something we have to understand that they don't seem to understand when they're trying to put people on the Supreme Court and change this law and do this and do that and do all those things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try and be a lawful nation, but we have to be a godly nation. I'm in favor of that. But we have gotten to a point where, in a way, we want to make laws for law's sake, because we feel a certain way about it. I want you to know right now, although the way I feel about things might be in line with God, the way I preach and what I do has to be for the glory of God. It can't be that the reason why I don't like this is simply because I don't like it.
Yeah.
That it doesn't work. There are many things that I don't like that are immoral that all the sinners don't like either.
Yeah.
I say on one hand, you shouldn't be drunk because you yield your mind to Satan and drunkenness. And I'm gonna go back to chapter 5 for a moment, and I'm gonna be finished for the night. And the world would say, well, you don't need to be drunk anyway because you kill people on the highway and you destroy families, you do all good things, and never come to it that this is the will of God that you not do that. Right. Well, what does that do? That makes me want to try and work my will in the land myself instead of allowing God to do it. And there is a difference.
Yes.
And because of that, everything becomes very human, and you know, and we start moving, and it becomes mechanical, and it's like the law that when Jesus came, he replaced. We should live good moral lives because we're godly.
Yes.
In the course of doing that, it yields the fruit of righteousness.
Yes.
which is peace and joy, and you know, and righteousness, right, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to go back to chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. So, yes, in answer to what Minister Smith said, when you read this scripture, it is saying that what is holding back the tribulation and the Antichrist is because the church of Christ is still here.
Yeah.
We are living righteously. You should feel so good about being in God.
Yeah.
In other words, if it were not for the people in whom the Holy Ghost dwelled, and those who are really righteous and who God is keeping and caring and watching over, and hopefully you're one, things would be worse than what they are.
Yeah.
You're talking about lawlessness and ungodliness, and when I look at a lot of these militant groups who all these malicious and all these groups, why do you need all these guns and things? Mm-hmm. You plan on being a law to yourself. I need to be gone when you cut loose and decide to do what you're going to do, because I don't own a gun,
right,
and
right.
I'm not planning on getting one.
Yes.
I have God. I'm not going. I'm depending on God to keep me in my house and keep me in my family.
Yes.
I'm planning on Him keeping me safe, because God is able to do it. But these people, their safety is in themselves.
Yes.
They're arming themselves, so they're getting license to carry. I go to church, but I need a license to carry, and I need a gun. What happened to your trust in God?
Yeah.
It's going to get bad. When things get bad, it's going to be bad. Everybody's going to have to take the sign of the beast. And you're not going to have to. I'm going to buy gold. You got people buying gold and storing gold and silver. Your gold is worth nothing if you can't cash it in. If you brought me a bar of gold, you came to the filling station and brought me a bar of gold in the middle of this, I wouldn't take your gold. I can't use it.
No.
Melting it down won't work for me unless I have some way of trading it in for some usable something else.
Yes, yeah.
So they're doing all these things. And at the same time, and so why, and we're talking about church folk, and we're talking about people being preached across their pulpits. This is going to happen, and you need to, I remember in Y2K, and all the people, and Jerry Falwell was one of them. They had people taking money out of the bank, storing it in their houses, and closing their bank accounts and doing things because when the computers crashed, they thought the computers were going to crash, and you weren't going to be able to buy gas, and you weren't going to be able to, the electricity was going to fail, and there's going to be rioting in the streets, and planes were going to be crashing, and this and that and the other, I wasn't concerned that the world was coming to an end. I was concerned about all the fools who thought the world was going to come to an end.
Yeah.
And the Lord told me when I was getting ready to go to New Year's Eve service, and I thought to myself, well, I hope that I'm not too stupid in the street tonight, because I hadn't been down here very long. As a matter of fact, we'd only been down here for a couple of years. And we were over in Upper Room, they called it at the time, Alcalix, but they'd take flight and gone up to Columbus, as they always do, and it was just me and Paul and a few people, and we were coming, we were having service there, what I was getting ready to get on my way to church that night. I said, I'm going to go out and see what the Lord will do, and I'm praying everything's going to be all right. Now I'm human, so I'm kind of hoping that people don't get too silly, and I turned on the television, and the Lord said, well, turn on the TV and see what's going on. So I turned on the TV, was getting ready to go, because we're going to start at 9 o'clock, and I turned on the TV, and the Lord said, look, and I looked, and they were showing Paris. How the people were just fine, and the Eiffel Tower was lit, and the people were going on about their business, and the New Year had already rang in, and it was going around. And you say, well, oh, it was the television coming. That was the Lord. He said,
see,
it's not crashing.
Yes,
you'll be all right.
Right. Yes,
because I didn't have anybody. I was going out here. It was me, Paula. Like I said, the other men that fled to Columbus. And we're gonna go out here right out in the middle of Main Street, where everything's happening on in that corner and around that area, and windows and all this. And we're gonna keep the doors open. We're gonna try to have a watch night service, and I'm praying the Lord will keep us. Oh, it just went just fine. We were there till 2 o'clock.
Hmm.
I remember we were there at 2 o'clock. The service went so well because the Lord kept us.
Yeah.
I need to go back to so all these people who are planning on all this,
calamity.
There is going to be calamity.
Yeah.
And this is why in 1 Thessalonians 5, and so I'm going to finish with this tonight. This is why he says to us, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Yeah.
Because we're waiting on the Lord to come. 1 Corinthians I mean, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. I'll start at 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You shouldn't be here when it comes. Not when it comes, you're expecting it. No, he means you should not be here. You don't plan to be here when sudden calamity comes and things fall apart. You're not going to be here. You're all children of light and the children of day, and are not children of the night nor darkness. This is not what we are. So let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch as in the garden and at other times. We're supposed to be putting on the whole armor of God. We're supposed to keep ourselves in the light, keep ourselves to the love of God. We're supposed to, as we see, the, you know, as we who have the Spirit, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
But they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. In other words, under darkness.
Yeah.
Night here refers to not the physical. They sleep at night like we go to bed like it's night. Now, they are in darkness.
Yes.
The people who aren't watching for Christ to come, who aren't looking for his appearance,
yeah,
who aren't preparing for him, all those that expect him, all those who love this, purify themselves, those people are asleep.
Yeah.
They are, as we say, asleep at the switch. They're out to lunch. They're in, as people are drunken in the night. Why are they drunken? Because they are in darkness. We are the children of light. We're supposed to walk in the light. As he's in the light, we're supposed to walk in the light. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Our plan is to be salvaged. We expect to be taken out.
Yes.
We're hoping for Jesus to come.
Yeah.
Oh, saints of God, if there be any who's listening and you're just handling the gospel so casually,
yeah,
and you're just barely motioning along, trying to float along with the tide, and you're not strengthening yourself in the love of God and in the Spirit and doing the things that you need to do in God, you need to get that right.
Yes.
Because when we're taking out of here, the bottom's going to fall out.
Yes.
When the saints of God,
yes,
I mean, you know, a Lot had not gone very far out of Sodom when calamity.
Yes, yes.
Abraham got up that next morning and he could see the smoke rising,
yeah,
from,
yeah,
the city.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that quickly after Lot had been taken out that everything fell apart.
Yeah.
Because 9 it says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. We're not supposed to be part of that.
Yeah.
But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, 4 and 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is our comfort. We're not supposed to be really overwhelmed with, you know, and it's not because all that's not true.
Right.
It's just that we're not supposed to be a part of it.
Yes.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What salvation is that? Our being taken out of the earth. Then during the rapture, during the tribulation, people will be saved and they'll be taken out.
Yeah.
During the tribulation, people will be saved by the Spirit, and you know, many of them that have heard the word of God, and now they realize that they weren't saved when the trump sounded. They weren't saved when Jesus came for whatever reason. And now there's a great revival, because after the rapture, there will be a great revival. Although later on, there'll be a great falling away. And many of them be saved, but they will go through some very difficult times. I can think of the people that I've talked to. I expect them to have eternal life, but I expect them to go, if they don't change their mind, they are going through the rapture, because that's all, through the tribulation, because that's all they talk about.
Yes.
One brother I met right out here, and that's all he could talk about. We got to watch out. He's going to make us take the sign of the beast. Nobody's going to make me take the sign of the beast. If I'm still here, which I have no business being,
yeah,
you know, he's going to make us, you know, if we elect so-and-so, he's going to make us take the sign of the beast. No. The tribulation has not started. You think it's bad now? Wait for the trib.
Yes.
As long as the church is here, and as long as Christ's church is here, And those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, those who God loves, His children are here. Rapture, I mean, tribulation is not going to start. We're going toward it.
Yes.
We're getting closer and closer. Matter of fact, it can very well be right around the corner.
Yes.
Well, for me, that's a good thing.
Yes, me too.
I'm not trying to dodge it.
Nope.
And I'm not trying to forestall it. Not that we can anyway. But for those of us who know that we're going to be caught up before it comes, for us, it's a good thing.
Yes.
It's in Peter. And I'm going to stop now, and I'll start out in Peter when we come back. When he says, but they've said, where is the day of his coming? But since he left, people have been saying this.
Yes.
And he says the same thing, but he's coming. What do you think Peter's referring to when he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, is in the clouds, we shall receive a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away.
Yes.
He didn't say when he comes and finishes renewing the earth, when he appears.
Right.
All those, Paul says, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and for those also who love his appearing. And this refers to him coming in the rapture. I thank God for all of you tonight. I pray that I wasn't too confusing, but I want to get your minds turned back toward the rapture. Let's get our minds turned back toward meeting Christ. We can get so busy in the earth, even in our churches and everything else, we forget what we're living for. And this is why at the end of Corinthians, in Thessalonians, in Colossians, in Philippians, in Ephesians, in all those books, somewhere in there, Paul makes this reference to their salvation.
Yes.
And makes their reference to seeing Christ, seeing Jesus when he comes. He's talking to the church, and he's not referring to them seeing Jesus come and renewing the earth. And this is why he's saying to them in all these places, you're not among these people who are going to flee to the mountains.
Yes.
Jesus said himself in Matthew, he says, in that day, he says that people are going to be running and asking the rocks, fall on us. That's not us.
Right.
No, it's not.
We're not going to be here for that.
No.
When he talks about one will be in the field and one will be and one will be taken and one will be left, that's when he talks about that. We're going back in the rapture.
Yeah.
We're going up in the rapture.
Amen.
We're not talking about the people who are going to be here hiding out in caves and in that day we're going to be begging for bread and begging for food and woe unto her, that woe unto the women that are pregnant at that time, because they'll be, we're not going to suffer like that. We need to be ready. We need to stir ourselves up and get ourselves to holiness and get ourselves to living right and to prepare ourselves for the Lord and stop ducking and dodging and doing little things not being where we're supposed to. Just all the little things we do. Whatever you think you need to do to make sure you get caught up, we need to. Now's the time.
Time to do it. Yep.
Father, we come before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your healing power. Lord, we do acknowledge that thou art the great God and the mighty God. There's no God like thee, Lord. There's no power like unto thy power. And Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor. Lord, we exalt your name above every other name. And Lord, we sanctify you, Lord. There is no God but thee. And Lord, we worship you in the highest, Lord, and we bow before thee. Lord, we worship none else, no one else,
yes.
No thing else.
Nobody but you,
Lord. But we worship you and worship you alone.
Yes.
Lord, our worship is reserved for God.
Yes.
There would be no other being in the universe who was worthy of worship but God.
Yes.
Lord, we glorify your name.
We glorify your name.
Lord, we ask you to bless us and lead us and guide us. Lord, if we've done anything today in your sight, Lord, that was wrong and not right, Lord, for every one of us, Lord, wash us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, that we be cleansed and renewed. Lord, that we be a church without spot and without wrinkle, O God. Lord, that among us, that none of us be a spot, that none of us be a wrinkle.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, your church is going without spot and without wrinkle. Lord, let us not be a spot. Let us not be a wrinkle. Lord, I pray, Lord, in that day when Jesus should come, that we should all be caught up to meet him on the clouds. Lord, that we should be taken out of the earth, O God, before the great tribulation, O Lord, that we are not subject to wrath. And Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we ask you to heal the sick tonight and all those, Lord, among us who are sick and have any infirmity. Lord, I thank you for touching Chandra's body on Sunday. Lord, I thank you for Mother Ware that she's out of the hospital. Father, I thank you for Elder Smith that she's on a good track and doing well. Lord, I thank you for every person that I've heard of, Lord, that you have touched, and Lord, that you've brought about and you healed and delivered. Lord, I give you honor and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Lord, I glorify your name. If all those, Lord, we have on the list, if all those who are in any trouble, yes, all those who are in any discomfort, Lord, whomever they may be, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to stretch forth thy hand of mercy, for Lord, you are the comforter and you are the deliverer. Lord, set at liberty all of us who are bruised, all of us who are under any oppression. And Lord, if we are, Lord, if we are suffering and are lacking in any way, some of us need some money. Lord, Lord, make a way and open doors.
Open doors,
Lord, that we should have all sufficiency. And Lord, I pray, Lord, bless our house and bless our homes, but evermore keep us in the mind that you're doing it to encourage us. In every blessing, you are saying, I am the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, in every healing, you are saying, but I am God.
Yes.
Lord, with every miracle, you are saying, but I'm the one who has the power.
Yes,
Lord, every time you come to our hearts, you are saying, I am the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you are drawing us by your hand of mercy.
Yes.
And Lord, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember Ella Tina Rogers' mother. And Lord, strengthen L.T. Angela Rogers. Lord, let her